Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So there's two types of initiation that are being performed today. One type is called Hari Nam Diksha, and the other one is Brahman Diksha. So we'll speak about each one separately or connected. So as far as Hari Nam is concerned, Hari Nam refers to the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu states in his Shikshashtaka, Nam Namakari Bahoda Nijasarva Shaktis, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has invested all Sarva Shakti. Sarva Shakti means all of his potency in his holy name. There's no difference between Krishna and his name. And there's an interesting story I will tell about Hanuman and the name of Ram. So Ram and Krishna are the same person. Of course, when we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we're also chanting the name of Ram. Hare refers to the energy of the Lord, the internal potency, in the evocative form, and that's Ram and Sita, which are non-different. Radharani and Sita, which are non-different, And then you have Krishna. Krishna means the most attractive person. And then Hare Ram. Ram refers to Lord Ramchandra, Balaram, and also Radha Raman. Very interesting. So once upon a time, there was a pastime that showed the potency of the holy name of Ram. And that story is as follows. There was a king who was visiting Ram, and there's this sage. His name was Viswamitra Muni. Viswamitra Muni is renowned for having a temper. There's a whole story, interaction between Viswamitra Muni and Vasishta in the Ramayana, and we're not going to tell that story today. But anyway, this king offended Viswamitra Muni, and Viswamitra Muni went to Ram and said to Ram, "You should kill this king." And Ram, being an obedient Kshatriya, because the Kshatriyas always follow the orders of the Brahmanas, that is Varnashram, Ram said, "All right, I'm going to kill the king." And the king took shelter at the lotus feet of Hanuman. And actually, it was Hanuman who earlier had advised him not to respect the sage, which is really interesting. And earlier, Hanuman had asked for a benediction from Lord Ram. And Lord Ram said, "What do you want?" And Hanuman said, "I want that your holy name is more powerful than you." Some of you have heard this story before. So then what happened is this king took shelter at the lotus feet of Hanuman, and Hanuman said, "Just chant the name of Ram and I will protect you." So Hanuman was chanting the name of Ram, and he was protecting this king, and the king was chanting the name of Ram, and the king was very nervous, and he was practically dying of fear because he was going to be killed by Ram. And Ram took out his arrow to shoot the king, and actually Hanuman was in the way, and he actually shot the arrow at Hanuman, and the arrow was useless, didn't do anything. That's interesting, because Ram is renowned as, you know, he has one arrow, one wife, isn't it? And one word. So whenever Ram pulled out his arrow, nothing could keep that arrow from hitting its mark. But in this particular case, the holy name of Ram protected this king and protected Hanuman. So that's one story that illustrates the potency of the holy name of Ram, the holy name of Krishna, which is the same. So actually, we also mentioned Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Shikshashtaka Nam Namakari Bahada Nijasarva Shaktis. Not only do the names of Ram, Krishna, same person, have all the potency of God, but there's many names. And each and every name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead refers and evokes a particular aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like you can chant the name Vishnu. And when you chant the name Vishnu, the aspect of the Lord, who is the creator of the material world, the maintainer of the material world, becomes manifest. When you chant the name of Nrsimha, half man, half lion, then Lord Nrsimha becomes manifest. It's pretty nice. Any name of God that you chant has that potency and manifests that particular aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the name Krishna, of course, as I mentioned before, means the most attractive person. And so we are so fortunate that we have been given this name of Krishna, of Ram, of Nrsimha, through the disciplic succession. And because we've been given the name through disciplic succession, we have the opportunity to chant something called the Shuddhana. If you chant the name and you're not giving it through disciplic succession, you're doing Namabhas at best. Namabhas is good too. Namabhas means like a reflection of the holy name. And even by that chanting Namabhas, you get liberated. Even by the chanting Namabhas, you become free from all the karma you may have committed. All your good fortune is established by chanting Namabhas. Very wonderful. Just like different types of Namabhas are there. Not only if you hear the holy name from someone who's not a devotee, but also if you chant accidentally. Let's say, or if you're referring to there's a chain of hotels that are around the world called Ramada. If you chant Ramada, you understand? There's hotels. And in America, those motels and hotels are usually owned by people from Gujarat. So you get benefit just by chanting Ramada. You get benefit just as described by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Harinam Chintamani. If you're being attacked, if you're in India, of course, and if you're being attacked by a big pig, a boar, and you go, Ha Ram, which means how horrible, then you're getting benefit. That's wonderful, isn't it? But if you want the highest benefit, more than simply Namabhas, you have to receive the name, the Shuddhanam. And the Shuddhanam can only be received in the disciplic succession coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. And what is disciplic succession? Krishna describes that in the Gita. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo vidahu. The Sanskrit is, of course, parampara. Parampara means that Krishna originates the disciplic succession, every disciplic succession. There's four basic, bona fide disciplic successions. One is the Brahma Sampradaya, which we are members of. Another one is called the Rudra Sampradaya, that's headed up by Rudra, Lord Shiva. The other one is called the Kumara Sampradaya, headed up by the four Kumaras. And the last one is called the Lakshmi Sampradaya, headed up by Lakshmi Devi. So these are the four bona fide disciplic successions. And in order to get the Shuddhanam, you have to accept the name in one of those four successions. Otherwise, it's stated, Sampradaya vinahi mantraste nishpala mataha, that your mantra will not have a spiritual effect, only if it comes in that disciplic succession. So as I mentioned, we are members of the Brahma disciplic succession. That means Krishna taught Brahma, Brahma taught Narada, Narada taught Vyasa, all the way down to the present day and age, to the present representatives, such as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gaura Kishoras Babaji Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Srila Prabhupada, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. So that's our disciplic succession. I mean, technically it's called the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. Brahma, we explain who Lord Brahma is, and then Madhva refers to Madhvacharya, this great personality, who was primarily situated in Udupi in India. And then Gaudiya refers to Lord Chaitanya's branch of the disciplic succession, which is, Gaudiya refers to Gaudadesh, which is part of India, basically Bengal and that whole area, Bihar, Bengal, Orissa area of India. So this is the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. So that's the first point, that one has to hear from a member of the Sampradaya to get a bona fide member, someone who is following strictly, to get the Shudanam. And what's the benefit of the Shudanam? The benefit of the Shudanam, the pure name, is that one can achieve the goal of human form of life, which is called Krishna Prema. And in order to come in contact with a representative of the disciplic succession, one has to have great punya, great good fortune. Because it's described in Bengali in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Brahmanda Brahmataye Gona Bhagyuban Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach, that we're all wandering all throughout the different universes. But by the mercy of Krishna, one comes in contact with that representative who is known as the Guru. And the Guru implants the creeper or the seed of the creeper of devotion in the heart or the hearts of the aspiring spiritualists. So this is a very rare thing, to have that blessing. And so by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we have that blessing, and we can give that blessing to others. But in order to remain connected, just like if you plant a seed in the ground, that's not enough. If you plant a seed in the ground and you don't water it, finished. If you plant a seed in the ground and there's too much water, finished. If you plant a seed in the ground and there's weeds, finished. So in order for that seed to grow and eventually pierce the coverings of this material world, one has to guard against offenses, which we'll speak about in a second. One has to water the creeper continually. So how does one water the creeper or the seed of devotion? That's through the process of hearing and chanting. Especially in the Krishna consciousness movement, it means hearing and chanting and reading the books of Srila Prabhupada, such as the Srimad Bhagavat, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Bhagavad Gita, so many books Prabhupada has published, big books and small books. And if one hears like that, they are hearing directly from a pure devotee. And also serving Prabhupada's mission. Just like we are here in the Krishna Kaliya temple. And this temple was established by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. He personally established this temple, personally explained what deities to put on the altar, how to worship the deities, everything. This is the original temple that was established in Fiji by the Krishna Consciousness Movement. So one should be serving in this temple, if one is located in this particular location, and humbly serving Prabhupada's mission in this way. In that way, your bhakti lata bija, the seed of the creeper of devotion, will grow very quickly. And that's the positive. And then on the negative side, one has to avoid offending the holy name. And so we're going to list, as Prabhupada did traditionally at first initiation, the offenses against the holy name. first offense to be avoided, and perhaps I think this is the most serious offense. It's called the mad elephant offense. Mad elephant offense means when an elephant gets into the garden and you're trying to grow a creeper, trying to grow a plant, the elephant destroys the plant. Of course, you don't have to have very many elephants here in Fiji. But anyway, even if you let an ox or you let a cow into your garden. I remember many years ago, before I joined the Krishna Conscious Movement, I had a garden, and there were cows right next to where our garden was, and the cows broke through in the fence, and they destroyed the garden. And so after they destroyed the garden, I had to join the Hare Krishna Movement, because we had no more vegetables. So in that case, a mad cow offense is actually good. So, anyway, so offending the devotees of the Lord who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord is a great offense. Now, why is it an offense? Why is it bad? Why does it interfere with your devotional advancement? Because Krishna loves his devotees. His devotees, Krishna's devotees, are Krishna's children. And if you offend someone's children, someone who they love, then the person will never forgive you. So one has to be very careful in dealing, not only not offending, but you should serve Krishna's devotees. Okay, that's first offense. The second offense is to consider names of different demigods, like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Indra. There's nobody here chants the name of Indra, I don't think. I don't think there's too many devotees of Lord Brahma here either. But Lord Shiva, Durga, whatever, Ganesh, to be equal to or independent of the holy name of Lord Vishnu. Actually, Lord Vishnu is non-different from his holy name. And in general, the names of the demigods refer to their position rather than the person, and they're not non-different from the person. So, Ekala Ishra Krishna Arasabda Vrija. There's one Ishra, and that is Krishna. So, don't think like that. You can respect the demigods, that's fine. On my altar, I have Hanuman there, I have Lord Shiva there, but they're on a different level. Krishna, Ram, and Nrsimha, they're all on the highest level, because they're all Vishnu Tattva. Vishnu Tattva means non-different than Krishna, just Krishna in a different mood. So, and then the next offense is to disobey the order of the spiritual master. Because the spiritual master is speaking on behalf of Krishna. Of course, one does have a right to ask the spiritual master, why have you given a particular instruction? Blind following, Prabhupada said, is condemned. So we don't want to follow blindly. But one should accept the spiritual master as the representative of Krishna. The next offense is to blaspheme the Vedic literatures or literatures in pursuance of the Vedic version. That means not only the literatures that are written in Sanskrit that come from India, but any literatures that glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In any culture, whether someone is a member of the Krishna Consciousness Movement or someone is a Christian or Muslim, we respect all scriptures that glorify God, all writings that glorify God. We don't blaspheme. So, the next event is to consider the glories of the holy name to be imagination. As I mentioned before, Krishna is non-different from his holy name, and it is certainly not imagination. It is directly Purna Shiva Nityamukto Pinatvam Namanamino. Next offense is to give some perverted or mundane interpretation of the holy name. That should be avoided. Next offense is to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting. It's not permissible to keep on sinning and thinking you're going to be relieved from the sin or the bad karma by chanting. That will not work. Next offense is to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be like one of the rituals you do or the Karmakanja rituals in the Vedic literatures. Next offense is to instruct people who are not ready to hear about the holy names on the glories of the holy name. So they may commit offenses, or they may take some sort of improper advantage of chanting. And the last offense is to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy name and maintain material attachments, even after understanding so many instructions in that matter. So, well, thank you. Dhanyavaad. Very nice. Ashiva. Blessings. So what that means is that we all have material attachments. However, one should be endeavoring to get rid of them. Just like not trying to accumulate more and more material attachments. And then finally, it's also offensive to be inattentive while chanting. What does that mean? That means one is thinking of something else, or falling asleep while they're chanting, and therefore they're ignoring Krishna. For example, if I'm talking to you and you're ignoring me, I'll get very upset. Very, very upset. I remember when I first joined the Hare Krishna movement, my mother would be talking to me and I would just be chanting Hare Krishna. She'd be going, "My dear son," and I go, "Hare Krishna," you know, under my breath. "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram." And she got really angry. She said, "When I'm talking, you listen to me." But I didn't listen. I just went, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna." I was fanatic in those days. So Krishna's the same way. If you're chanting and you're not listening, you're not paying attention to Krishna, what do you think? Or how do you think he's going to respond? So it's very important to be attentive to each and every syllable. I mean, how can you be attentive? You pray to Krishna. How do you learn to pray to Krishna? Study Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Shikshashta, the 8 prayers in glorification of the holy name. You understand? 8. Beginning with Chaito Dharma Namashanam. So, anyway, I'm not going to go through the Shikshashta, but I advise you all to study the Shikshashta, to learn how to think when you're chanting. And these verses of the Shikshashta illustrate the different levels of devotional service, culminating in the highest level, or coming to the highest level, which is pure love of God, ready to do anything that pleases Krishna. And which is the same, the last verse of the Shikshashtaka is, you know, "Krishna, you could crush me by your embrace, leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me, but you're completely free to do anything and everything, and you remain my wishful Lord unconditionally." And this is the same as Krishna's statement in the Gita, "Sarva dharmam prichaja, mamikam sharanam braja, hum tvam sarva bhavi yo moksha yishyami masa jaha." So the devotees who are taking first initiation, which is what I was talking about, are promising to better their chanting and chant a minimum of 16 rounds every day. 16 rounds means we have these japa beads, and each round of japa beads is 108 beads, and on each bead you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Minimum 16 rounds. Try to chant more in Ekadasi. On Ekadasis, I generally chant 64 rounds. And when you chant that many rounds, you really understand the potency of the holy name. 16 is actually just for beginners. When Prabhupada first came to the Western world, he asked his devotees to chant 64 rounds. Then they said to Prabhupada, "Impossible." So then Prabhupada said, "32. And then they said to Prabhupada, "Impossible. When are we going to eat?" Because there was more concern with eating than chanting. And then Prabhupada said 16, but no less. And then, of course, we have the 4 regulative principles, which are easy because you're all from a nice culture here. No meat for sure eggs. I'm sure none of you ate meat before. probably wrong. No, Morgi. No, actually in Bengal they call fish fruit of the sea. Jal, Paul, or something like that. You know. Anyway, so no fish, no eggs. Anyway, so no meat, fish, or eggs. And there's a reason for it, because Krishna doesn't accept any of those things. We only eat food that's offered to Krishna. We offer all of our food to Krishna before we eat it, and that way it's prasad. That's what prasad means. Prasad means mercy. And so the next one is no intoxication, and that includes kava, for those of you from Fiji. Then no coffee, tea, cigarettes, alcohol. I guess I should cover all of them. What else? No marijuana. No LSD. What else? Did I leave any of them out?
No Coca-Cola.
No Coca-Cola? Why? Why no Coca-Cola? Oh, it's caffeine. Sorry about that. No Red Bull. You have that here, Red Bull? Yeah. So, no intoxication. And then, no illicit sex. In other words, people should get married. And none of this nonsense with illicit life between boyfriends and girlfriends. In the modern day and age, we've experienced, sometimes I do a lot of preaching in the West. Well, the West means like in America, New Zealand, Fiji, not Fiji, but in Australia. And people come, like a girl will come and she'll say, I'd like you to meet my boyfriend. He's my eternal love. And the next week there's another eternal love. So eternity doesn't last for very long. You know, the word eternity means forever. So eternity in the modern day means 1 week. So people should just get themselves married. What's the problem? Nowadays marriage, at least in many other countries, is not so popular. 50% of the people or more in Europe don't get married, they just live with each other. It's crazy. And I was speaking to some people, I was asking, so why don't you get married? You've been together for 10 years. And they said, no, it makes it much more difficult when we want to get a divorce. That way we don't have to pay the lawyers. So they're actually planning on doing so much nonsense. So people should get married. In Fiji, there's not many brahmacharis. Any brahmacharis in Fiji? No, they're an extinct species. We tried to protect them, but anyway, they were demolished. Anyway, so no less sex, no intoxication, no eating, and no gambling. That means no lotto. You know what lotto is? You have that here? You know, no lotto or any sort of gambling. I mean, you can play dice, but no money. You know, if you have some game, you know, some little game with your friends, that's all right. But don't use money. Just do it for fun. Okay, so and that's first initiation. Devotees are vowing to do that and serving Prabhupada's mission, particularly if you live here, serving the Krishna Kaliya temple and acting as good examples to represent this movement. Because if any of you act improperly and people see that, it will reflect upon the Krishna consciousness movement. So it's very important to have good composure. So, and as far as the second initiation, which some of you are taking, second initiation is Brahman initiation. It's much more serious. It means that one actually becomes like a priest, can do deity worship, can represent the movement in terms of speaking. And in order to be qualified, one has to have qualities in the mode of goodness that are mentioned by Krishna in the Gita. Samo damat tapaksho cham shanti rajva meva cha jana vijnanam asti kyam rama karmas vibhavajam. And for those of you who don't understand Sanskrit, one should practice being equal poised in happiness and distress, sama, dhamma. One should control his senses. That means you may feel like getting angry sometime. Of course, I'm sure none of you ever have that problem. Not in Fiji. No one ever gets angry in Fiji. So you may feel like getting angry, or you may feel like eating something you're not supposed to eat, or you may feel like running after some romantic Bollywood dream girl or man. But you just pull it back. Like if you have horses, the example given in the Gita is that you're in a chariot. The chariot is the body. The soul is the passenger. The horses, there's five horses. They're the five senses, like the tongue, the eyes, etc. And the reins in the mind and the driver is the intelligence. So you pull back on the horses. You don't let them go wild. Then you'll end up somewhere you don't want to end up. One time I was riding a horse, and I didn't know what I was doing. I thought I'd just jumped on the back of a horse, so I just thought, let me have some fun. And I kept telling him, stop. He didn't listen, because I didn't know what I was doing. And he just took me to the next county. I had to jump him off of him eventually to escape. Fortunately, I didn't get hurt. So it's like that. Adandago pirvishatam tamishram punak punas jar vichar vananam. You actually don't want to let your senses out of your control, or else you're going to be engaged in doing something called chewing the chewed. Chewing the chewed means you're going to keep trying the same thing, even not getting a good result, and over and over and over again. Don't do it. So, samadhanam tapap. Be austere, accept everything favorable for serving Krishna, reject everything unfavorable. Shocham, cleanliness. A devotee should be clean, especially those taking second initiation. You're supposed to bathe at least two or three times a day before you eat. You clean your hands. After you eat, you clean your hands. Actually, technically, you're supposed to also clean your feet before you eat, but we don't do that because it's really not practical. I remember in the early days of the movement, all the brahmacharis, and I used to be a brahmachari, would clean their feet after and before eating. And it was interesting. And then you clean the place where you've eaten. Cleaning, cleanliness, shocham. And then other principles, tolerance, religiosity, honesty. One should be extremely honest. Don't lie. If you make a mistake, admit it. What's the problem? Don't be afraid. It's not wrong to make a mistake. It's wrong to lie about it. Just say, I made a mistake. Please forgive me. No problem. Anyway, and then cultivating knowledge, reading regularly Srila Prabhupada's books, and practicing what you hear, practicing what you preach, and this is what a Brahmin is. So it's very serious. Those taking second initiation and those taking first initiation. Main thing is you're taking initiation in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness to serve this mission as servants of not only your spiritual master, but ultimately His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of this movement. So all of us are meant to have a direct connection with Srila Prabhupada. And you can do that by hearing about Him and hearing from Him in His books. And I advise all the devotees to read His biography to understand who Prabhupada is. Most important. So that's the talk about initiation. So at this point, we will give the beads to those devotees who are taking first initiation. How does that sound? Is that okay? Okay, and everyone who's taking first initiation should put their neck beads on first. Their new neck beads.